So our chief of police for the Columbia Police Department is Ken Burton, and he's in the studio. And I'll say again, thank you, sir, for always coming in and always getting these visits with us. I appreciate that.
My pleasure.
A couple of things I wanted to talk to you off the air, and these are not the biggest news items in the world, but I think they are impressive for me. And I asked you if you had seen a picture that I'm going to guess is on the front page of the Tribune today. I've only seen it online, and it shows right after police had responded to the shooting that took place on Tuesday that left a 16-year-old in the hospital with a gunshot wound to his stomach. Actually, he was a 15-year-old. And two 16-year-olds were picked up, and then yesterday's news was the arrest of an 18-year-old. But that picture just touched me in some way because it shows a man who is obviously very much upset with what has happened there, and he's basically, with his cell phone in hand, fallen against a police officer for support.
Right. Yeah, and like we were talking about, you know, those kinds of things our officers do every day. They don't usually show up on video, or we don't always catch them on the newspaper, but they do happen every day, and it's a reminder of what our police officers deal with.
In that situation, you have to perform many roles as a law enforcement officer.
Yeah, counselor. You have to, sometimes it's, you know, providing medical care. You know, there's a lot of hats that an officer has to wear at a scene like that.
At the same time, making sure that you understand what's going on with the crime that has been committed, well, and know how
that,
safety.
Yeah, not only that, but there's somebody responsible for this thing, you know, and you don't know where that person is. So there's a lot of things going on there.
One of the things that also struck me about the way that the story was written in the Tribune, and it was talking about the way that there were people that were arrested so quickly. And this is something that we've talked about in the past, and that has to do with how cooperative people are in regard to a crime. And I understand that you're not involved hands-on in every single crime, but it's interesting that the investigation, two juveniles taken into custody after police spoke with the victim, who for at least a while was within a life-threatening situation because he was being treated at the hospital for what could have taken his life.
Yeah, that's correct. And it's a shining example of when people will share with us what they know, what we can accomplish together. And when people don't talk to us in situations like that, you know, sometimes it takes us, we got to do it by ourselves. And it never goes as quickly or as efficiently.
Took the juveniles into custody after speaking with the victim, according to the statement. And according to the statement, one of the juveniles told investigators he drove the other robbers to the victim's home. Told investigators he drove all three robbers from the home after the shooting. The same boy picked the man who was arrested yesterday out of a police lineup, as the statement from the police says, without hesitation and with definite certainty.
Yeah.
That's just an interesting insight into how quickly something can unfold when people are willing to talk. I think this thing that strikes me about that is it seems to me like 16-year-olds, as macho as they can be sometimes, are also get scared pretty easily, and something about that made them, I think, respond in a way that you like seeing them respond.
Well, you never know, you know, what's motivating them. You hope that it's the fact that somebody got hurt and they try to make that situation right, but yeah, I think that, you know, they're still kids. You know, that's the bottom line. And
but the thing about it is kids with guns and doing a drug deal.
And kids believing they're closer to adulthood than they really are and taking chances that they really shouldn't be taking.
Again, that's an example of, because it says that this is, even in the headline, it was a drug deal turned violent.
Mm-hmm.
And those things are prevalent.
Well, I don't know how prevalent they are, but they're common.
I guess the drug deals might be more prevalent than the violence is.
Yeah, that's right.
Chief Ken Burton is our guest. If you want to join us in conversation, please do it. 442-8255 or 1-800-229-5378. These are more philosophical things before we maybe get to the hard and concrete. And it's tempting not to do this because it hedges also on the political, but police chiefs around this country reacted to what the president said last week as far as not taking it easy on criminals. When you hear that kind of conversation, what is the fine line? You need to be, this is my statement of someone who's never been a law enforcement officer. I would say that the needs are to be assertive and strict and stiff with people, while at the same time recognizing that our law and our background of justice is you do treat all as possibly innocent until they've gone through the whole court process.
I guess my thoughts on what the president said, obviously he's the leader of our country and he has a right to say anything he wants. But I think in some ways his comments may have made our job a little more difficult, because there are people that will seize on that, and you know, it could be happening right this very second. You know, I've said several times, you know, I've got 160 people out there that are doing this job, and I believe that each and every one of them, or the vast majority of them, come to work every day wanting to do the right thing. And I would hate for an officer to say, well, those comments, you know, kind of the president agrees, you know, this guy's a crook and should be treated like a crook, because it's a step backwards. You know, you're very right. What we try to teach our officers is to treat other people like you'd want to be treated, or one of your relatives to be treated if they were encountered a police officer. So while I'll not comment any further on the president's comments, it's something that can make our difficult job harder when someone that high profile makes comments like that.
Well, I appreciate what you have said, because, again, he said, please don't be too nice. I mean, that right. was the bottom line, is please don't be too nice. He said those words, and he gave some examples. For example, even like when you're putting somebody in a car, you know, don't care if you bump his head right. or her head on the cars you put them in. I think it does make, you know, for some, that's a, yeah. And for others, it's like, wait a minute.
No, not the people that are really in this work for the right reasons.
I don't mean your people. Yeah, right. I'm talking citizens. Those things.
But yeah. You know, I think the biggest danger is that if someone, an officer now, has to use force out there, that the citizen says, well, the reason they did it is because of what the president said, not because they had to do it in the heat of the moment or whatever. And so it paints a picture there that the officer may have listened to what the president said, when in actuality that's not the case.
Right. It makes the job harder, even though it's hard enough.
Right.
We're going to go to another call. Caller, you're on KFRU with the chief of police. Good morning.
Good morning. So a few months back on the 4th of July, my son and I were hoping to catch a glimpse of fire in the sky, so we climbed up to the top of our roof. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see that, but throughout the neighborhood, fireworks were going off everywhere, and a police officer came driving down the road, clearly visible of all the fireworks going off, and did nothing, just kept driving. And I was curious as to the numbers of enforcement of our city ordinance to not have fireworks in the city.
Thank you for the call. That's a tough one.
You know, it is a tough one, and we deal with it every year. It's like herding cats is the only way I can describe it to you. You know, people that are using fireworks illegally normally are looking out for law enforcement. So we encounter things like we can see something go up in somebody's backyard. We get out of the car, and everybody runs into the house, and you don't know who did it. And it's really kind of like chasing your tail. It's not that the officers don't want to enforce it. There's just so many violations. It's probably one of the most scoffed at laws that we have on the books. And we get it. You know, people want to celebrate the 4th of July and things like that. And the unfortunate part is we have people that are irresponsible and don't take into account the dangers that are involved to not only your property, but your neighbor's property and their own. So as long as people take those risks, we'll do our best to enforce it. But it really is a difficult ordinance to even catch somebody doing. And we know of certain areas where there's pockets of students that are problems every year, and we try to put people in that in those areas to keep a lid on it. But it is tough.
So what you're saying is you pretty much need to see it happen. I mean, you need to experience it firsthand to be able to do something
about
it.
That's correct. Or have somebody come out as a witness where we can file a case with their testimony, which has its own other set of problems. You know, people most of the time just want us, just like this gentleman caller, want us to just take care of it. Well, it's a little bit easier to say that than to do it, and that's the issue that we run into.
You will send cars down streets hoping that just their presence
exactly.
would kind of remind people, you know what, this isn't something you should be doing, but there's so much of that happening. And then if you stop and say, hey, we've had some complaints, don't know if you're shooting them off or not, but you just kind of help us
yeah.
if you don't shoot them off.
And some people will respond to that. It varies by individual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if I came up in your backyard, David, and said, hey, knock that off, you'd say, okay, and you'd take them inside.
That off.
There are other people that'll just wait till we drive away, and then they start
right again.
Up.
Every year, it seems like it's a problem.
It is.
People have that problem every year. Caller, what's your question or comment for the chief of police?
I would like to know why the... convicted felon who shot the veteran, unarmed veteran, has not been arrested, and where they are on that case.
I don't have specific information on that case, and if I did, I probably would not share it without talking to the detective first. I don't know what the status of that case is off the top of my head.
Sorry, we couldn't help you out more with that. 4 or 5 minutes left in our visit, and sometimes I wait too long to ask you this question, but what's going on in your world that you say this is something of concern? One thing that I thought about asking you about is in regard to the ongoing conversations that the city is intending to have as far as the policing of the community and what the community wants to see in regard to the community policing. I think a lot of people would like to see more community policing. I understand that it's a matter of resources, both financial as well as personnel resources. Anything to report on that?
No, it's something that we continue to talk about, and I think I've said it before, you know, until we commit as a community to provide the resources, you know, we'll do the best we can with what we have to work with. And a lot of times that's robbing Peter to pay Paul, and we do engage in community policing and have for several years. It is not to the extent that some citizens would like to see it, and frankly, it's not to the extent that I'd like to see it. But we work with what we have and try to make it. And, you know, it's not the end-all, be-all. Community policing, while it helps us in our job, it can reduce crime. We've proven that over and over and over again. You have to have the resources dedicated to it to do it properly and to do it consistently, or, you know, you lose the bang for your buck there.
Don't want to get it started and then have to say all of a sudden, we can't contain or we can't sustain that. Your reaction, if any, to the city council deciding to table their decision to give a contract for helping to initiate a community conversation?
You know, I was criticized by some for not being there that night. I have to be very careful in my position that I don't try to influence or give the appearance of trying to influence a council decision. If they ask for my input, I provide it, and I provide it, you know, unfiltered. But as far as them making the decision, they're the elected officials in this city, and they deserve to be able to make a decision without, you know, my presence hindering them or encouraging them one direction or another. So politically, I try to stay out of those kinds of decisions and just let them give us direction. And that's always the cleanest way. I would never want to undermine anything anybody's trying to do. And the simple reality is there's seven different opinions on that council, and they deserve the right to discuss it as their constituents have asked them to do, and then provide us with direction. So I think the best way to do that is to wait and see what they decide. So I don't have any reactions as the chief of police, and I guess I'll leave it at that.
Well, the other thing is that I think when the conversation started in front of the council several months ago, it was to have a free citizen input saying, well, here's what we'd like. And then maybe along the way to approach the professionals who do the job and say, okay, here's what is being said by this group. How does it connect with what is possible from the other side?
Let me tell you what the issue is here, in just at risk of getting into it a little deeper right here at the end of the show. But, you know, we have neighborhoods where if they see a police officer in their neighborhood, that's an indicator of a problem. And all the neighbors come to the door and they go, why are the police down the street? And they all want to know what's going on. And they care about their neighborhoods. And then we have neighborhoods who, if they don't see a car, police car, it's a sign of a problem. And then we have everything in between. So just imagine every pocket neighborhood that we have in the city of Columbia has a different feel for what they want from their police department. And some of them want to sit on the curb. They're waiting for somebody to mess up. Others don't want to see us unless they need us. And then when they need us, they want us there in 2 minutes, okay? And everything in between. And so that's a moving target a lot of times. You go into one neighborhood and they go, I think everything's fine. We don't see the police down here. You guys are always responsive when we call you. And then you have other neighborhoods that say, well, you're hassling me. You're stopping me because this happened in my neighborhood. So I'm getting stopped by your police officers, you know, in my neighborhood because somebody got shot down the street. And everything in between. So you have to remember that it's not the same for everyone. It's not the same for everyone. It depends on where you live in our city and what you want from the police. And that's tough for police officers sometimes to go from one neighborhood where they're obviously wanted, to another neighborhood where they're not.
Yeah, it would be interesting if you could tailor different police policing depending on what the neighborhood
was. That's what community policing is all about, is having enough officers to put the officers in that community and determine what it is. I learned a hard lesson back when I was a police lieutenant, because I went into my sector and we had a prostitution problem at some motels and some topless places and things. So I put together an operation and went in, and we arrested prostitutes, we arrested Johns, we arrested like 30 people, you know, went out there on a two-night operation. And then I had a community meeting a month or so later, you know, and I was patting myself on the back about what a great job my cops had done out there, you know, and we'd cleaned this up even for just a few nights, and we took care of this problem. And I had a lady raise her hand in the back of the room, and she says, you know, that's great that you guys did that, but what really bothers me is the graffiti on my fence. And I had an epiphany that I don't know unless I ask. I can go out there and do what I think people want me to do. But you have neighborhoods where we'll have a neighborhood meeting and three people will show up. So those three people are representing the entire neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And so it's a moving target, and it's frustrating for the lieutenants who we ask to have these community meetings, because they're there to share information. Here's what's going on in your neighborhood. And sometimes they hear crickets. So... It's something that's just part of the job, and we do our best with it.
Appreciate your time. Thank you for always coming in. Chief Ken Burton has been our guest. This is KFRU.